what's fabulous about Scott and his situation is that he's in an environment where it's very American. That is fabulous. And it may be that he's surrounded by people who have actually served in the military. And one of the things we do when we serve in the military, you know, we understand that we're not going to put our lives on the line for nothing. The educational benefits are not that good. Certainly, you know, I joined the Navy because I knew I was going nowhere fast and I needed some discipline. I needed some training, and it was just the right thing to do. It was good. But one of the things that I experienced was that people were offended by my view, were offended by my worldview. Now, I didn't go and offer it at everybody. I didn't act like I had a talk show. And that seems like what Scott's presented, that he's not going to go start pick a fight over an issue. But when people are freely sharing their views, and then he shares his view that is an offense, nobody's offended. I was in a bookstore one day, this neat little bookstore, it's used books. Can't even top my head, just think of the name of the bookstore. But while I was in there, I was talking to the proprietor, and he said something about, we were just talking. And what happened is, as this lady comes in and looks for books and she's walking out, this gentleman has a banner on the ceiling. And as you're walking out of the store toward the exit, you can actually read the banner. If you're coming in, you can't see it. But on the way out, it says, "Have a blessed day." It says, "Have a blessed day." And the lady turned around. She was so angry. She was vicious. And she said something with regard to separation in church and state. Well, he's licensed by the government to have a business. I guess he's a member of the state. Not really, but that's, I don't know what she was thinking. But she really got upset. Just inference that somebody was going to bless somebody in the name of Almighty God ended up really chilling her. She was kind of frustrated. But I have found in certain environments that I've seen, I've actually seen it, where as soon as you raise an issue with regard to morality or you start venting your opinions with regard to morality, then people get upset. I was in a situation, and this is in the Navy, I was in the Chief Petty Officer's Mess. There was a Mormon gentleman in the Chief Petty Officer's Mess, and he asked me, he says, "Dave, you're a Christian, right?" "Well, yeah, thank you." And he says, "What do you Christians believe is the way to get to heaven? How do you believe that you're saved?" And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to tell you, came back, it actually started a very interesting conflict. So we're going to be back.
After these messages, we will be right back.
Are you looking for a good way to help others who are helping others? Let us advertise your favorite ministry organization, and your advertising gift will support our Faith and Freedom broadcast airtime costs at the same time. Come join us in our Give Unto Others advertising campaign. Contact us by phone at 757-850-1245 or by email at faithfrontier@verizon.net.
And it was this guy asked me, he says, "Well, what do you believe in your belief system to get saved?" And so I started telling him, first of all, you know, we're created in the image of God, and but Adam sinned, you know, so we talked about that. And we said, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So I began to just talk to him about what it is, who Christ is, and our relationship to him. If we would confess him, that's speak with our mouth in public, which some would consider hate speech, that Jesus Christ is Lord, then we will be saved. But when you say Lord, man, you got to be serious. And the Bible says, don't make a oath, man, because you're accountable to it. So when you make an oath, Jesus, you are Lord, guess what? I'm stuck. And I'm stuck for eternity. But praise the Lord, having the forgiveness of sin and having the filling of the Spirit that actually enables me to get over myself and actually be able to live and to love my neighbor as myself in a way that I wouldn't otherwise in my natural man be able to do is a wonderful thing. So I started talking to this guy about this. In the middle of that, the Command Master Chief walks in and he says, very abruptly, and there's like a dozen guys sitting there listening, you know, and I didn't start the conversation. I was minding my own business. And this guy brought it up. And so everybody's sitting around very politely listening. The Command Master Chief comes in the middle of it. And here's my little speech. He was considering it as a speech. He said, "Hey, we don't do that in here. Let's stop that." He's doing the Canada thing. "We don't talk with two things we don't talk about in here is the politics and religion." And he sits down and he's sitting across from me at the table and he's giving me those hard looks. He's Command Master Chief. And I'm normally very, you know, submissive. You know, he's Command Master Chief. But this is one time where I spoke back. In Canada, I'd probably be put in jail. I said very abruptly, listen, Master Chief, you do talk about religion. You do talk about politics. And normally when you discuss religion, it's really to offend me. You do it all the time. You watch trash videos. And when I don't like it, I leave. I leave. When you watch your trash and talk about trash, I leave. So if I want in my chief's mess to talk about what I'm interested in and you don't like it, you can leave, Master Chief. And I'm just staring at him. Now, this is very shocking because Mr. Dave's a nice guy. He's a nice Jesus dude, right? So he didn't say this kind of stuff. And there's this huge pregnant pause, as some would call it. And then so finally I said to him, besides, Master Chief, he asked. And then the Command Master Chief got up and slammed the door out of there. And then I went on, ended my conversation. And what was really neat is those guys that were sitting around, who normally sit around and probably ridicule the Christian guy when he's gone, and some of them I knew participated in that kind of thing. One guy says, I like that. He asked. You know, and they were all real quiet because it was very unusual for the little Jesus guy to get up and say something. And the point was, what are we doing, folks? Are we operating in reality? Are we rationally thinking? Remember, evil men do not understand justice. What happens is a Master Chief was skewed in his thought process. He doesn't understand that rhetoric is a good thing. That America, the reason why we're serving in the military is to keep America free. You know why we keep America free? So that people who are free in America can live righteously and influence the entire world for the sake of righteousness. Not because we're trying to coerce everybody into a religious sect like some religions would go and kill people if they will not submit. Our goal is to be salt and light. And when we are salt and light, and we will actually practice the thing that Almighty God says for us to do, to love him and love our neighbor as ourselves, we're going to influence our neighbor. We're going to change people's lives. And it's not just us. We can change their lives, but then it gives them an opportunity to go for a better source, to consider that if they live on their own mentality and they live on their own logic, that they're eventually going to reap destruction. And they're going to reap it in sometimes very soon. But if they would consider that God loved us so much that he sent his only begotten son, that anybody that believes on him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And we know, we read about Jesus, we read about the things he says. And he said that God didn't send him, Jesus in the world to condemn the world, but to save us, to save us. He's got a great plan. He's not trying to make us submit. He's trying to get us to yield to a really good plan. And that's why I say these crazy things on Faith and Freedom Show. I want to talk about the issues of the day from a constitutional basis, a biblical basis, and the basis of right versus wrong. And because I'm hoping that I'm going to be charging people's minds, I'm going to be inspiring them to consider their reference. So because I didn't have a chance to get into some other things, I'm going to talk about some of this. I'm going to have a little more loving hate speech. One of the things that Scott talked about, he actually quoted, he said that they become futile in their thoughts, actually taking the truth for a lie. I guess that's what he said. What he was referring to was the first chapter of the book of Romans where Paul was writing, and he was talking about man and their depravity. And he was pointing out, and this kind of was being quoted by our guest last week, who was talking about creation. I'm going to read it. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and all righteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. That's what Scott was talking about. Because what may be known of God is manifest or shown in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, that's creation, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. In Canada, this would be hate speech. In America, in some places, it's considered hate speech, and people will want to quash your ability to speak, and they'll claim all kinds of weird reasons for doing it. And this goes on. It says, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. That would be hate speech. Last week, when our guest was talking about the Creation Museum, and we were talking about the interpretation of facts, and looking at nature and attributing nature to a chaotic beginning, a chance happening that everybody in this awesome design, this entire awesome universe and the awesome living things that we have, the wonderful handiwork of the creator, if you say, oh, this came from nothing. And even when you look at the fossil record, and it's happened to be a bunch of clams from the bottom of the top, from the bottom to the top, and a homogenized bunch of mud, 8,000 feet of it, and you say, oh, this happened over billions of years, and it's absolutely impossible that it happened by a global flood. Of course, every ounce of that strata is all from a flood. They just say, well, it must have been billions of them, okay? Ignore the options. Let's ignore the options of a global cataclysm. It's almost like if my son said yesterday, if it wasn't in the Bible, they wouldn't have excluded it as an option. I thought that was pretty profound. He's not 18 yet, so we can't listen to him. But what it says here, professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God in an image made like corruptible man, birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. So that's what it says. That's what it says. Oh, but this is the kind of thing, if I wore this on a shirt, let's just say there was a certain off-schedule Mardi Gras happening in New Orleans. In fact, the thing that was going to happen the weekend that Katrina hit but got canceled. Let's just say there's a group having this weird kind of fake Mardi Gras going on and doing some strange things. Let's just say that. And I was walking down the street with a sign that said this. I would possibly today in America get arrested for hate speech if anybody got upset. They would say that I was disturbing the peace by my speech. It says, therefore, God gave them up to their uncleanness and the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worship and serve the creature rather than the creator who is blessed forever. Amen. Now, watch this. And this, for this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Wow, that's contrary to evolution. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving themselves in the penalty of their error, which was due. If I made a biblical reference that was showing a negative light, shining a negative light on certain lifestyles, some would say that that is hate speech. And the reason I'm kind of bringing it up is because it is controversial. This is talk radio. And I'm not going to insult any person, but I will talk about issues. I will talk about activities. I will talk about behaviors. One of the things that came up in the news is people are scrutinizing people's giving records. Well, you know, had they asserted the Matthew chapter 6 instruction on giving, nobody would ever know how much they gave or didn't give. There's no requirement to report your charitable contributions, by the way. So, in fact, you could give none or you could give all, and nobody needs to know. So, see, if we just apply a biblical, a little biblical precept into all areas of our life, I'm telling you, it will benefit us. And maybe if some people who are in the political arena today actually listen to my show, they may change their reporting. So, I mean, okay. But what I'm saying is I'm bringing up this issue, and it may stir up controversy in people's minds and hearts. It may get angry with me because I've said this. I've made a point of saying that God gave them up to vile passions, and that likewise, men leaving the natural use of the woman burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful and receiving themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. By myself, I talked to a young lady who's from Germany, and we asked her about, you know, what she thinks about this. She says, well, I don't really think it. I mean, everybody's different. They have their own ways. Well, she had never read this, and she never knew, actually, the teachings that come out of the Bible. And what's really crazy about this, if you go on reading from there on, because we don't have enough time to do that, but it starts showing the results of that kind of lifestyle and the kind of fruit that you get from abandoning God's plan. Remember, in nature, there's a law of conservation and there's a law of entropy. So there's a law of conservation that will conserve even society. And then there's other things that show that chaos is happening, that the earth is not getting better. Things are getting worse. And I contend that if we would stick to this plan, whether we understand it or not, if we'd come back to this reference, apply it in our lives in all situations, we would reap the fruit of it. We could even read Matthew chapter 6 that says to give your giving in secret, and God will reward you openly. And guess what? It'll never show up in the news. We'll see you next week.